All right, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want to teach on something tonight that I have actually taught on before, but I'm going to start teaching on parables in the Bible. But before we start teaching on the parables that Jesus gave in the Bible, it's critical that you understand a subject. And that subject tonight is one of the most important doctrines that you could learn when it comes to being able to rightly divide your Bible, especially in the New Testament. And certainly it's very, very important that you understand this subject if you're going to understand the parables that Jesus gave. And that subject is the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Okay, it's a very, very important subject. And if you understand the differences between the two, then you'll be able to look at the parables that Jesus gave and you'll be able to understand exactly what they're saying if you're able to divide the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, there are many today that teach that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing and therefore they're interchangeable in Scripture. But right off the bat, if they were the same, one would not say kingdom of heaven and the other the kingdom of God. I mean, obviously the Bible makes a distinction, so we should too, okay? Because if they were the same thing, then he wouldn't call it two different things, okay? Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, and I'm not against Brother Scofield, it's a good Bible. I have one of my own. But he is one who teaches that they are the same. They are not the same, okay? The two kingdoms are not the same, and they are not interchangeable. That's why God makes a distinction in the name. Now, when the Bible talks about a kingdom, it's talking about one of two things, always. Whenever the Bible mentions a kingdom, it's always speaking about one of two things. Either it's talking about a spiritual kingdom or it's talking about a physical kingdom. In every instance, it's either one or the other, okay? And we have to distinguish which one is being spoken of. Remember on Sunday school, in our Sunday school, we remember how we pushed the importance of reading the context. Okay, whenever you're looking at the kingdoms mentioned in the Bible, you have to read what is the context, what is it talking about? And so you have, when it comes to kingdoms, you have a physical kingdom and you have a spiritual kingdom. Now, the physical realm and the spiritual realm have always been around in your Bible. I mean, ever since the very beginning. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, notice the very first verse says this, "In the beginning, God," that's spiritual, "created the heavens and the earth," that's physical. So in the very first verse, you see spiritual and you see physical, okay? Again, that concept of spiritual and physical has been all the way through. And it's the same way when it comes to kingdoms. You have that the kingdom which is spiritual and you have a kingdom which is physical. And so I want to look at the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Now, the reason I put this thing up here tonight is because I want you to see the difference between the two, okay? And I want you to see exactly what the scriptures say the difference is between the two. You have the kingdom of God. That's a horrible D, I'm sorry. And you have the kingdom of heaven. All right. Now, when it comes to the kingdom of God, that's where we're going to turn over to Romans chapter 14. Okay? Romans chapter 14. When you get to Romans chapter 14, look if you would at verse 17. Romans 14, 17. It says this. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink." That means it's not physical. So, okay, if it's not physical, then what is it? We'll keep on reading. "It is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Okay, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. It isn't meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy that's found in the Holy Ghost. And all believers were placed in Christ the moment we were saved. We were placed in Christ. Christ was placed in us the hope of glory. Amen? So the moment we're saved, that's what we see, that all believers are placed in Christ. All believers right now are seated in the heavenly places right now spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So right now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we're all up in heaven sitting. You say, how is that possible? Because you've been placed in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so that's where we're at today spiritually. Now physically, I'm looking around, I see all of you sitting here. Amen? Okay, but that's, in fact, the Bible even describes that as a great mystery, how that could be. But we're spiritually in Christ, and we're seated in heavenly places right now at the right hand of the Father. But that's not a physical thing. That's a spiritual thing. How many of you understand that? So spiritually, right now, you're in a spiritual kingdom. You were placed in that spiritual kingdom the moment you got saved. So the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It is spiritual. It is a spiritual kingdom. All right? And so everybody who's been saved has been placed into that spiritual kingdom. I've heard people pray, you know, they'll pray things like this, especially when I've heard people pray over offerings, and they would say things like, "Bless this offering for the ongoing of thy kingdom." You say, well, what kingdom is that? Well, is it the kingdom of God? No. Is it kingdom of heaven? No. You say, well, what kingdom is it? I'm not really sure what it is, because the kingdom of God can't be bought with money. It's peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. You can't spread the kingdom. I mean, certainly you could say, well, you know, we use the money to buy tracts so we can spread the kingdom of God. I guess you could look at it from that way, but you can't buy the kingdom, okay? The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And as a believer, you're alive spiritually. As a believer, you're in the presence of God right now, seated in heavenly places. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And if you're saved here today, tonight, you are in the kingdom of God. That's where you're at. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right, now, let's look at the kingdom of heaven. According to your Bible, where the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. Physical. It's a physical kingdom. Now again, this is going to be very, very helpful to you when we start looking at the parables, because you're going to notice that some of the parables, Jesus will say something like, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then all of a sudden he'll give you a parable. In other parables, he'll say the kingdom of God is like, and then he'll give you that parable. If you understand the difference between the two, then you understand exactly what he's talking about, and you'll be able to understand those parables. Okay? So now, the kingdom of heaven. I want you to turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In fact, get Matthew chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40. Matthew chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40. Matthew chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40. I'll wait till I hear no more pages being turned. Matthew chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 40. All right, in Matthew chapter 3, I want you to notice that the phrase kingdom of heaven starts to show up a lot once John the Baptist starts to show up, okay? You don't really hear anything about it until John the Baptist starts coming back. In fact, you don't ever see it actually mentioned as the kingdom of heaven until John the Baptist shows up. There's a reason why that is. Matthew chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now look what it says in verse 3. To find out what the kingdom of heaven is, you got to see what it says in verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So what you have is you have John the Baptist here, who was a man that Isaiah was speaking about as being the man who would make the path straight for the Lord. He was prophesied to come back there in Isaiah. Okay, that's reading it telling you right there, verse 3, why he was preaching what he was preaching. It was prophesied that he would preach that. Okay, and so this John the Baptist Isaiah spoke of here is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what does it mean the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What was he saying? What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, in order to find that out, you've got to go back there to Isaiah. Because remember, it was Isaiah that made the prophecy that John the Baptist would preach this. And he did. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says there that that's what was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and look what it says starting at verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And now that's Isaiah there referring to the coming of John the Baptist. Now look at the context of what is that is going to come about when John the Baptist shows up. According to the prophecy of Isaiah, he's going to come and he's going to start preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's going to describe you exactly what's going to come about, or what was prophesied to come about when John the Baptist started preaching this. Look at verse 4. It says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Drop down to verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Question. He said that there would be one coming that would preach, that would be a one crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the desert as the desert a highway of our God. Talking about John the Baptist. And he said that when John the Baptist would preach this, that something would follow. And what does it say would follow? According to this right here, according to the context of Isaiah chapter 4, chapter 40, verses 4 and 5 and verse 10, it's talking about the second coming of the Lord. Now let me ask you something. When the Lord came the first time, did he come here physically? Yes, he sure did. He died physically and he arose physically. People start to tell you he arose spiritually. They're full of baloney. He came up physically. He arose physically, okay? Listen, when he comes back, is he coming back spiritually or is he coming back physically? Physically. So listen, here you have John the Baptist saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is he talking about a spiritual kingdom? Or is he talking about a physical kingdom? Physical. He's saying, listen, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying, if you'll get down, and he looks at these Pharisees, he looks at Israel, and he says, listen, if you will repent, if you'll get down in this water right now and repent of your ways and turn to God and turn to Jesus Christ, he will set up his kingdom, and it'll be just like Isaiah said it would be. Question, did they do that? Did they repent? No, they didn't. Okay, and so, well, we'll get into exactly what that meant here in just a minute. But they didn't, so therefore, the kingdom of heaven never actually took place. Now, let me ask you something. Is the Lord going to come back one of these days? That means that one of these days then, the kingdom of heaven will be here on earth, right? I mean, a physical kingdom, that's what he's coming back, physical. Is that today? No, it's not. Do you know how many people I have talked to that have said, well, you know, we're already in the millennial reign because the Lord's ruling right now on our throne inside of us? Well, that's somebody right there who doesn't understand the physical kingdom. That's somebody right there who doesn't understand the kingdom of heaven. Listen, when he comes back, Revelation chapter 19, when you read of it, that is physical. He really is going to come back. There really is going to be horses. There really is going to be blood up to the bridle of those horses. That's all physical. And when he rules and reigns, it'll be physical. Okay? And so, according to this, we're showing that the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom, whereas the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is one person ruling this whole earth, to include even the air that you breathe, the first heaven. How many of you understand there are three heavens? There is the first heaven, and that's where the, in fact, you read back there in Genesis, it describes, the Genesis chapter 1 describes the first two heavens for you. Back there in Genesis, it describes heaven one time, it mentions heaven, and it mentions the fowl of the air. So when I look up, like we were out at Gibson Park here a couple days ago, and while we were sitting there, a bunch of geese took off, flew right over top of us. Those were the fowl of the air. Which heaven are they in? The first one. Amen. But also there in Genesis chapter 1, you'll also see where heaven is mentioned of where the sun, moon, and stars are at. Obviously, that's not where the fowl fly. Amen? So that would be heaven what? Number 2. The third heaven is mentioned over there in 2 Corinthians, and Paul says, I knew a man, whether it be a man 14 years ago, whether it be in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one went up to heaven and saw paradise. Went up to the third heaven, it says. Well, where do you think the third heaven is? Well, it's not the first heaven where the fowls fly, and it's not the second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are at. It's the one above that. Amen? So we have three heavens. Now, when Christ comes to rule, he's going to rule. He already rules the third heaven. Amen? But when he comes back to rule his earth, he's going to rule everything. That means he's going to rule on this earth. The first heaven, the third heaven, the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven is all going to be his at the same time. That's the reason it's called the kingdom of heaven. But here's what people do is that when they see that word kingdom of heaven, they think that it's talking about heaven today. It's not talking about heaven today. That Bible tells you in Isaiah chapter 40, that's a physical kingdom. You are seated in heaven today, but you're seated there spiritually. So don't think just because it says kingdom of heaven that it's talking about us being in heaven spiritually today. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the Lord coming back to rule this earth, and he's going to be ruling everything at the same time, first, second, and third heaven. Okay, that's the reason it's called that. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? Okay, one is a spiritual kingdom. You're in it right now. One is a physical kingdom. You are not in it right now. Jesus Christ is not physically on this earth right now. He is not ruling this earth right now. You say, who is ruling this earth right now? Listen, even though we know that God's still on the throne, God has allowed certain things to happen because of sin, right? Who is ruling the roost right now? The devil is, prince and power of the air, absolutely. Now, God allows him to do that. At any time, God could take that away, amen? And he's going to one of these days when the Lord comes back, Revelation chapter 19. But right now, the devil is the one, the prince of power of the air is the one that's ruling the roost right now, okay? Now, at one time, he wasn't. Like, I think we touched a little bit this on this past Sunday, but at one time, the devil was not ruling on this earth. Back in Genesis chapter 1, turn back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, you're going to actually see where there was a physical kingdom on this earth at one time. A physical kingdom. But it's only happened one time, and it was pretty short. Of course, we don't know how short it really was, but it didn't last as long as it was supposed to be. In Genesis chapter 1, look if you would at verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea. Oh, and look, over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So when Adam come on the scene, when God made Adam, he says, okay, Adam, here you go. He had a perfect body, perfect soul, perfect spirit. The whole works. He hadn't fallen yet. And he says, I'm going to give you dominion over the whole earth. Did you have a physical kingdom at that time? Yes, you did. You had a physical kingdom. Now, that stayed that way until when? Until he was no longer in the image of God. What happened? He ate the fruit. And when he ate the fruit, remember this, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we're made in his image. So that means to be an image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, then we got to be obviously alive because God is alive. We've got to be alive, physical, soul, body, and spirit. Amen? Now, the second he ate that fruit, something happened. What was it? He died spiritually. Now, the moment he died spiritually, at that point, was he in the image of God anymore? No, he wasn't. In fact, if you continue to read over there in the book of Genesis, you'll find out that he wasn't in the image of God anymore, because in Genesis chapter 5, turn over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And look at verse 1. Genesis chapter 5, look at verse 1, it says this. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Talking about Adam before the fall. Verse 2. "Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." Verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years. Now watch. "And he begot a son in" what? "His own image." His son wasn't in the image of God. It was in the image of Adam. Why? Because his son, to be in the image of Adam, that seed has been passed on from Adam to his son. And remember, that seed's passed on and on and on. It's the seed of sin. It's the seed of death. All those things. Listen, the reason why Jesus Christ, the importance of the virgin birth, is that he was born of the seed of the woman. Therefore, that seed of sin was not passed down to him. But from Adam to Seth and to his sons, that seed was passed down. And so what happened when they reached the age of accountability? They were no longer spiritually alive. They're not in the image of God. They're in the image, he's in the image of Adam now. Why? Because you can't be in the image of God if you're dead spiritually. How many of you see that? You can't. Why? Because we're made in the image of, man was made in the image of God. We are a triune being. That means that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit that's based on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And if one of those is dead, we're no longer in that image. But the moment you got born again, what happened? You became alive spiritually. Right? A great study that you could do in the Bible is do a study on the sons of God, both Old and New Testament. And when you study it, see what you find out, what it truly means when the Bible says the sons of God. What is it talking about? How does it call us sons of God today? And you see over here, back in the Old Testament, you had angels that were called sons of God. But we're not angels. And angels and men are not the same thing. We are a little lower than angels, according to the book of Hebrews. Okay? And so, but how come that one's called a son of God over in the Old Testament and we're called sons of God here? It's about in whose image you're in. That's what it's all about. Do you know whenever you read your Bible and it talks about the angel coming here and the angels coming here and the angel of the Lord and all these different things? The image of God. That's what it's always about. And so man here, you became a son of God the moment. You cannot become a son of God unless you have been born again. You have to be spiritually alive, right? Now, you say, well, right now, am I in the image of God? Well, probably closer than Adam was, but not perfect. Why? Because we still have one thing that isn't quite right. You know what it is? This right here. But one of these days, we are going to have a brand new body. Right? And when we get that new body, we will be perfect, our soul, we will have a perfect spirit, and we will have a perfect body. And at that point, what does it say over there in 1 John? That we shall see him and we shall be as he is. We will be in the image, the perfect image of Christ. How many of you see that? Okay? All right? So when it talks about this kingdom, at one time, that kingdom belonged to Adam. But once Adam fell, he was no longer in the image of God because he was dead spiritually. So guess what? At that point, the kingdom of God is gone. It's gone. It's not here. Why? Nobody was placed in the kingdom at that point. There is no kingdom at that point. In fact, kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God were gone at that point. Adam no longer had dominion. You no longer had a physical kingdom. And certainly there was no spiritual kingdom going on the second he ate the fruit. So that kingdom that belonged to Adam at the time, God gave him dominion over the whole earth. At that point, it was given over to somebody else. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4 and we'll see who it was given to. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, the Lord is being tempted in the wilderness by the devil. We know he fasted for 40 days. He goes up in the wilderness. The devil comes and tempts him. And when you get to Matthew chapter 4, I want to show you one of the temptations that he tempted the Lord with. And notice that the Lord did not argue the point of who was boss. Notice that. In Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 8. It says, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." Now what did he say? "And saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." You know what he just said? He said, "You see all those kingdoms of the earth? They're all mine. And I'll give them to you if you fall down and worship me." Now let me ask you something. Is all those kingdoms of the world going to be one day be Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But they aren't his right now. They belong to the prince of power of the air. Oh, I don't believe that. Watch the news. Yeah. Amen. If you watch the news, you don't have to watch it very long, and you're going to find out that Jesus is not ruling the kingdoms of this earth. That's the reason it's like we saw this past Sunday when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, which, by the way, everybody calls that the Lord's Prayer. When he says, you know, pray our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. What did he say? He said, number one, he said, when ye pray, pray our Father. That's multiple people. That's the nation of Israel. Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. He said this, pray that the kingdom would come. If the Lord was already the king over all the of all the nations of the earth, you wouldn't have to pray that. It'd already be there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think the Lord's will is being done on his earth? It isn't being done right here in Great Falls. It isn't being done right here in America. Do you think it's the Lord's will for us to pass laws that are wicked? No. Listen, what are we to do? Just like we learned this past Sunday, we're supposed to pray for the kingdom to come in. We're supposed to pray that the Lord will come back. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen? So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for it because it's not here yet. The physical reign of Jesus Christ is not here yet. But boy, I can't wait till it happens. Amen? And so that it's talking about a physical kingdom. And right now, it's the devil who has that physical kingdom. Okay? Now, I will tell you this, that when you look at the four Gospels, the only Gospel that the kingdom of heaven is mentioned in is the book of Matthew. It's the only one. You say, why in the world is that so? Must be a mistake. Must be a translation problem. No, it's not a translation problem. There are no mistakes in your Bible. The reason why that it's only in Matthew that the kingdom of heaven is mentioned is because each of the Gospels are written representing Jesus differently. Matthew presents him as what? King of the Jews. King. King of the Jews. That's how Matthew presents him. So of course you're going to see the kingdom of heaven mentioned there. Mark presents him as a servant. You're not going to see the kingdom of heaven mentioned when he's being shown as a servant. Luke presents him as a son of man. In the beginning of Luke, it takes him all the way back there to Adam, showing his humanity. What does John represent him to be? The Son of God. Very first verse in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, the very first verse in John, he's saying, listen, Jesus Christ manifests in the flesh, and he is God manifest in the flesh. So that's the reason why you see in Matthew, you see the kingdom of heaven mentioned. In fact, that's where you're going to see those parables too. And you're going to see the difference. When we look at those parables, you're going to see the difference when he starts to describe the kingdom of heaven as being, you'll see when we start these parables next week, you'll see one parable saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And then you'll see the next parable, and the kingdom of heaven is like. And then all of a sudden you'll see one that says where the kingdom of God is like. You got to learn to make sure that one's talking about a physical, one's talking about a spiritual. Okay? And we do it when we get there, you're going to understand exactly what those parables are talking about. Okay? And so when John the Baptist says, "Repent ye and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he was talking about Jesus coming to rule and reign on this earth. Do you realize that even the signboard that was placed above the cross, notice what it said. Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Well, not Luke chapter 11. Well, you can turn over there. In Luke chapter 11, it talks about the prayer. It talks about the Lord's Prayer. And it talks about how they're supposed to pray that thy kingdom come. Okay, but I want you to remember that the signboard that was placed over the cross, what did it say? The King of the Jews. Had it written in three different languages. The King of the Jews. That way, so everybody walked through there, they would say, "Hey, this is the King." Let me ask you something. Was that a physical body on that cross? Yes. It's going to be a physical kingdom too. Physical kingdom. You have a spiritual kingdom. You have a physical kingdom. And so even the signboard says it. Now, the kingdom of heaven that could have been on earth when Christ was here before he was crucified, when John said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," what he is saying is this: if you will come and repent, all of you will come and repent right now, he will set up his kingdom. But he didn't do it. They didn't accept him as Messiah, and therefore the kingdom of heaven has been delayed. Now, the second that Jesus Christ, when he went up and he ascended into the clouds, how did the kingdom of heaven stay here on earth for us to get into it? Well, notice what it said in Romans chapter 14. Turn back to Romans chapter 14, and it says that the kingdom of heaven is not meat or drink, but is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, right? Remember Jesus said that he must leave so that the Comforter would come? Listen, Jesus came, when he came, he was offering both kingdoms. When he came to this earth, he offered the kingdom of God right there, and he offered the kingdom of heaven. He offered both. But when he left, one went with him. That one. He's no longer here physically, right? But this one right here remains. In other words, people today can still get, I'm in it, you're in it, it's still here today. How did that happen? Because when he left, the Comforter came. And who's the Comforter? The Holy Ghost. And because of the Holy Ghost, you're still able to get in the kingdom of God now. Or a person that's unsaved can get into a kingdom of God, the kingdom of God now. If you're saved here tonight, you're in the kingdom of God. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you're guaranteed to be in this one. Amen? Guaranteed. Listen, do you realize how important it is that you're in the kingdom of God tonight? Do you realize that everybody in the kingdom of God, you can't be in the kingdom of God unless you're a son of God. You can't be in the kingdom of God unless you have been born again. You can't be in the kingdom of God unless your name's in the book of life. You can't. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you can't lose your salvation. Why? Because in order to take you, whoever it is that's going to take you, whether it be the devil or another man or even yourself, you've got to make it up there in that spiritual kingdom and take you out of Christ in order to do it. Show me the person who can do that. That's how important it is that you're in the kingdom of God tonight. Now, there are going to be people that's going to come and is going to experience this kingdom one of these days. But not everybody that experienced this kingdom will be in this kingdom. You say, what in the world are you talking about? You know, you're over there, you start reading about Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation chapter 20, and it says that Christ will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and at the end of that 1,000 years, the devil is going to be able to gather up people that will be as the sand of the sea, that will go up against Jerusalem, against that holy city. Question: were they at that physical kingdom? Yes. but they weren't in this one. How do we know? Because they're going to get destroyed. Amen? I mean, the Bible says right there that the fire comes down and consume, and the very next thing you see is Revelation chapter 20 and the great white throne of judgment. What do you have? You have those people that are not here, but they are here. You get both. You get both. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you don't remember anything else about tonight, just remember, kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that you're in right now. Kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom that one of these days you will see. You will see when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, you'll see the kingdom of heaven. Heaven come down upon earth is what it is. Now, next week, we're going to start looking at the parables, and we're going to look at each one of these parables. I'm really not going to be talking a whole lot more about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven because I think we got it. I think we can look at those parables now, and when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, you know that what it's talking about. It's talking about when Christ comes to rule and reign. When it says the kingdom of God is like, it's talking about the spiritual kingdom that you're in right now. And when we look at these parables, I think you'll be able to understand them a whole lot easier, keeping that perspective. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stop there.